lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land. By your grace then I have found, Lord, let my feet on higher ground.
It's a good life. Coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
In our last study, we left off with Paul on Mars Hill. Now, Mars Hill, of course, is located in Athens, Greece. In Acts chapter 17, verses 22 and 23, it says this, "Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, 'You men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, To the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you.'" Now, he did not insult these people when he said, "therefore ye ignorantly worship." He was just telling them that they didn't know everything, that actually they were worshiping someone they didn't know, and he wanted to introduce them to the God that they were looking for. Paul took this opportunity to preach the word of God and to let these people know that there's no such thing as evolution, that God created all things. And we read a few verses here in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." Genesis 1:31, "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good, and the evening and the morning were the sixth day." Genesis chapter 2 and verse 1, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them." And then in John chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." In John chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, "All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." Well, if you keep reading in the book of John and the other scriptures that refer to God as the Creator, you'll find that nothing was made without Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is God. He is the Creator. He's the one that created all things. And Paul wanted these people to know this as he stood on Mars Hill and he preached to these people, letting them know that Jesus Christ is the Savior, that he is the true God, and he was the unknown God that they were seeking. And you know, so many people, they're seeking today. They want to know God. And once again, they are confused. They do not know the real God. So therefore, we who are saved, we need to introduce them to the one and only God, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. And when I say the Savior of the world, that doesn't mean the whole world is going to be saved. In other words, the people right now and the ones in the past and actually the ones in the future. It doesn't mean everybody's going to be saved. It simply means that he came and he died for all the people of this world. He died, he was buried, and he resurrected on that third day. Who did he do that for? He did it for us. He did it for all of mankind. And the Bible teaches us that Jesus came to seek and save those who were lost. And all those individuals who will respond to his calling, to the Holy Spirit dealing with their hearts, then each person, when the Holy Spirit speaks, that person needs to respond favorably by asking Jesus Christ to save them. And he may be speaking to your heart right now because we're studying the Word of God. It's God's word. It's not my word. It's God's word. And he has sent that word. Jesus Christ is the living word. And he sent the living word, and he's given us the written word that we may know him and know him more perfectly. Well, notice something that happens here as Paul's been teaching now these people to worship the real God. Paul says, you know, he goes into the creation, how that God created all things. What he says, why God created all things. What was the purpose? And I see in verse 27 of Acts chapter 17 that the reason that God created all things is so man could seek the Lord. Notice in Acts chapter 17 and verse 27, It says that they, and this is referring back to verse 26, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. So Paul preached the word of God, and he let them know that God created all things, so man could seek the Lord. And it was also so man could find the Lord. And it says there in that verse, and find him, in verse 27 of Acts chapter 17. The word of God is preached so that men can seek the Lord, and so that man could find the Lord. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ looks for us. He speaks to our hearts, and he speaks to each individual, and he gives every person in this world an opportunity to know him as Lord and Savior. Well, notice something else here. Paul says why God created all things, and it's so man could know God is our Creator. In verse 28 of Acts 17, it says, "For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring." Now remember now, he's speaking to these people. There were well-educated people there, I'm sure, and there was many different thoughts and theologies, if I could put it that way, so many thoughts about God. But Paul's bringing it down to one person, and that one person is Jesus Christ. And he was teaching them that God is our Creator, the true God. And he also preached this and taught this so man could know that God is real. Notice Acts chapter 17 and verse 29. It says, "For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is likened to gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's devices or device." Well, once again, he's letting people know that that you can make all these statues, make them out of gold, iron, silver, wood, whatever, but that is not God. God is real. The Bible tells us that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And once again, you can't see a spirit. In our eyes, we cannot see a spirit. So therefore, when you make a graven image, the Bible says, that is not God. That is not a representation of him. Once again, he is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We should never put some kind of a fake God in front of us in gold, silver, or stone, whatever, and say, "This is our God. This is representing God." Well, it does not represent God, because God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Well, notice Acts 17 and verse 30. It says, "And the times of this ignorance..." Now, Paul's getting down to it here. He's letting these people know now that there's a decision that must be made. Acts 17, 30 says, "And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." Remember, he told them it was through their ignorance that they did not know God. In other words, they did not understand. But now he brings it right down. He says, "The times of this," or your ignorance, God winked at it one time, but now he commandeth all men, you. He's telling these people on Mars Hill, he's commanding you, all men everywhere, to repent. Now, Paul says that your ignorance is no excuse for not doing what God says to do. "You are now listening to the truth of God," he's saying, "and God is finished with your foolishness and now commands you to turn to the real God." And God says that to every person in this world today. It's time that you quit fooling around and you get serious with God. And I say this many times, you get serious with God and he'll get serious with you. He'll save you if you want him as your Savior. Well, Paul says, why should you quit being ignorant? In other words, why is this? And why should you do what the real God says he's asking these people? Acts 17:31 answers that. He says, "Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead." Well, I wonder who he's speaking of here. I don't have to wonder very long, because Jesus Christ is the one who was raised from the dead. Jesus Christ came into this world. He lived some 33 years. And when we think of this, that lifespan was short compared to what we see today. He lived some 33 years. There was no sin found in him. No guile, the Bible says, was found in his mouth. In other words, he was sinless. He was perfect. Jesus Christ came into the world. He was born of a virgin, and he lived a sinless, perfect life. And we stop to think about that. Why did he do this? Well, it was because he was fulfilling what was appointed. Before the foundation of the world, God had appointed a day in which he would come, and he would give his life for this lost and dying world. And there would come a day when he would die and be buried, and there would come a day when he would be raised from the dead. But there's also coming a time, because he hath appointed the day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. And who's going to judge the world in righteousness? By that man whom he hath ordained. Well, the Bible goes on there in Acts chapter 17, verse 31, it tells us who that man is. Whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. Jesus Christ is the judge. He's all righteousness. He is the one who can make the right decision as concerning the people of this world. Now, the Bible tells us that he did not come to condemn people. He did not come to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And that's people. That the people might be saved. But there's coming a time when he's going to say, that's it. That's enough. If you die without Jesus Christ, there's no other hope for you. You're going to a devil's hell, one day to be cast into the lake of fire. So now is the time to be saved. And God says, now is the time. Quit being foolish and trust Jesus Christ. Well, notice the results now of what Paul was preaching. There were some results here as he preached on Mars Hill. Once again, we see in Acts chapter 17 and verse 32, it says, when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. Others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. Well, once again, it's pretty clear here what happened. Some mocked the word. They made fun of it. And some wanted to hear more. Well, in Acts chapter 17 and verse 33, it says, so Paul departed from among them. Well, Paul leaves according to that verse. And once again, as we look in verse 34, we see a result of a good result of what Paul did on Mars Hill. And might I say this, that it wasn't Paul, it was the word of God that he was giving forth. Now, Paul quoted many scriptures from the Old Testament, and he told them that Jesus Christ, and he led them to a point where they had no excuse but to receive Jesus Christ as Savior or reject him. But we see that as he departed, certain people stayed faithful to Paul and believed. In other words, they stayed faithful to the Lord. Notice chapter 17 and verse 34 of Acts. It says, howbeit, certain men clave unto him, clave unto Paul. In other words, they wanted to hear more. They wanted to be close to him. Well, why did they do this? It tells us. It says, howbeit, certain men clave unto him and believed. They believed, and they trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. The verse goes on to say, among the which was Dionysimus, the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them. Several people got saved. Several people believed. They got tired of listening to this, of this make-believe about gods. They received the true God. They received the true Savior, Jesus Christ. And you need to do the same today. If you've never trusted him, God wants to save you. Trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. He was crucified, buried, and resurrected on that third day. He is God, and he's alive today.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.